Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. My text verse is Romans 8:14, and you'll want to keep your Bible there. But God says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, if you think just for a moment, it's beautiful to see the resemblance and likeness of parents in the children. Many times you can say, oh, that child belongs to them, because you can see similarities. And people have seen my mom, and they always go, they walk up to me, you know, if they see her for the first time, and they go, "Boy, are you your mother's son?" One lady in West Virginia walked up to us and me and said, "You have your mother's jowls." And so I said, "Thank you very much." And she has wide jowls, and I have wide jowls. And it's because I'm my mother's son. And now, if you think about that just for a second, as God's children, we're born again spiritually with the best parents. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and there should be some similarities of our Heavenly Father and us. We can't copy God's power. We can't copy His omniscience, that He knows everything. We can't copy His omnipresence. We can't be independent and self-existent like He is. And we can never receive worship like He does. But we can imitate God in His moral and spiritual attributes. We can imitate God in how we see certain, situations and handle certain issues. You see, we're imitators of God as dear children when you get born again. And the text verse says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if I take that verse, that proves that we are God's child by how we let Him lead us. It does not say the proof of salvation is if you're led of the Spirit. Getting saved and being a Christian are two different things. If you aren't careful, if you combine them, it causes confusion. Salvation is by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You place your faith in Him, you get saved. When you are a Christian, you are Christ-like. You are pressed into His image. You remind others of the Savior. Getting saved and being a Christian are two different things. I know people that are saved, but they're not Christian. And I've met some lost people that were very giving, kind people, but they were not saved. Does that make sense? Two different things. What lets you know you're God's child is when He guides you and instructs you and influences you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, we're all created by God, but God is not everyone's father. God doesn't become your father, and I already said that, until you place your faith in the blood that He shed for you. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, or saved by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Almighty Jehovah God is your Creator. But He is not your Father until you are born of His Spirit. Then His Spirit comes inside you to live. God says in Romans 8:9, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." This little phrase, are you there in Romans 8? Look at the end of verse 9. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." So when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes in you to live. And proof that you're saved is that you have God living inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But proof that you are His son or His child comes on what you do with what's inside of you. You see, God's word is very plain. An unbeliever cannot claim God as their father. And last Sunday night I preached on gave some pointers on the election. But it's kind of, I feel sorry for people, you know, one of the candidates said, you know, we are all God's children. That's universalism. No, we're not all God's children. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. And if you read Romans chapter 8, Jesus even looked at some of them and said, ye are of your father the devil. So you can be a child of hell and a child of Satan while you're lost, but when you get saved, you become a child of God. I'm trying to drive that home, because when you look at this verse, understanding this that this text is not talking about saved or lost, it is talking to Christians. God is not saying as many as have been baptized are the sons of God. I'm now back at verse 14. God is not saying as many, God didn't say as many as go to church are the sons of God. God doesn't say here as many as tithe are the sons of God. God doesn't say as many as pray are the sons of God. And then I'm going to go a different way with it. Just stay with me. God doesn't say as many as have not committed murder are the sons of God. It's not the absence of the negative. It's not, well, I haven't done any big things. God's not saying as many as go to church. I'm sorry, God is not saying as many as have not cussed are the sons of God. God is not saying as many as have not coveted are the sons of God. You see, if it was something outward that we could do, go to church, get baptized, read a Bible, I'm for all that. I think you know that. Then it'd be much easier to do the deed, check it off the list, and then go rest completely satisfied. But when you read Romans 8:14, the Lord wants us to examine ourselves much more carefully than that. God says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are His sons. God says, you have things that you do. All of us do. But how much of what you do is led by the Spirit of God? That determines your sonship. That determines, and then, I put this down, it becomes much more convicting. I should be able to read it both ways. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Then listen closely. I'm preaching this morning, okay? We're supposed to think about the Scripture. We're focusing on this. But is the opposite true? If you're not led by the Spirit of God, then you're not His son. I didn't say saved. If you're not led by God's Spirit, then you're not His son. That's important. Christian, when you read your Bible, God's trying to get you to move. He's not saying, whatever you're doing in your Christian life, that's good enough. That's good enough for us, but it's not good enough for the Lord. God's trying to move us. So as I look at the text, the Holy Spirit, I find, first of all, leads us to repentance. That's the first thing that the Holy Spirit leads us. If I take that verse, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Listen then, if I use Ezekiel 8 as my, if you've not read it, don't turn there, just think about it. The Holy Spirit leads us into the abominable chambers of our imagery, buried deep in our fallen nature, and He shows us our secret places that are polluted with idols and images of jealousy. And He shocks us into our humanity. Listen, the Holy Ghost of God, first of all, leads us to repentance. Without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and His illumination, we could never have believed that such evil lived in us. Right? Because we think we're pretty good. And without God's conviction, normally, we're pretty good in our own eyes. I'm talking to you, what happened the day you got saved? The Holy Spirit then points to the sins of our past and then shows us the blots of our willful sins, our sins of ignorance, the sins we did on purpose against light and knowledge. We knew better, and we did it anyways. The Holy Spirit brings that out. The Holy Spirit leads us into the light so we can see how black our history has been. Then, filled with shame, we cry out to God and we see that if He knocked us into hell, it wouldn't be more than we deserve. And then we see Jesus and we call on Him and get saved. It is that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing the Holy Spirit does, the first thing He leads us to when you got saved was He led us individually, praise God, to repentance. He led us to see what we are without Him. And then we did what? God, save me, please, Jesus, I can't save myself. And we cried out to Him. You see, we look on Him whom we have pierced, and feeling the sorrow and regret of our sin, we place our faith in His atoning blood. Jesus did say, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The prodigal, when he came back to his father, said, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned. The publican who smote his breast and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The first place the Holy Spirit leads us to is repentance. No man, no one ever trusts Jesus till he feels he needs a Savior, and he can't feel his need without the conviction of the Holy Ghost. So how else? So the first place that the Holy Spirit leads us is to repentance. Second of all, how else does the Holy Spirit lead you? I like this. While the Holy Spirit is leading you to think little of yourself, He leads you to think much of Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:42, if God were your Father, ye would love me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If God were your Father, you'd love me. Jesus is saying that. If I take that thought, I can understand why you've never felt forgiven and cleansed if you're trusting your baptism or your church membership or you're trying to live a good life, because that cannot save you. Living a good life and religion have never given the peace that you're on your way to heaven. The only cleansing for sin is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. That's the third time I've said that this morning, but listen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit of God never led a man to think little of the one that died for him and much of priests. I'm not bashing any church this morning. I'm trying to draw out some truths here. The Holy Spirit never led anybody to exalt a priest over the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil would, an institution would, but the Holy Spirit would never do that. Jesus said in John 16, just listen, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify Me. Can I just ask you a question this morning? Has the Holy Spirit ever made the Lord Jesus glorious to you? Has the Holy Spirit ever made the Lord Jesus, like it says in 1 Peter, precious to you? That song that's in the hymn book, He is so precious to me because of what He has done for me. That's His job. The Holy Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit of God, He'll lead you to repentance to get saved. Then He leads you to love Him. He leads you to love the Lord. After the Holy Ghost shows... I apologize for my voice. Nothing is working, okay? After the Holy Ghost shows you your sinful condition, the Holy Spirit then leads you to know other truths. He leads you into all truth after you get saved. Praise God. Not to the Jehovah's Witnesses. He doesn't lead you to the Mormons. He doesn't lead you to the Church of Christ that teaches you got to get saved by getting baptized. He doesn't lead you to any other cult. Jesus said in John 10, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they, my sheep, know not the voice of strangers. They know not the voice of strangers. You can only know, I love this. You can only know the truth as the Holy Ghost teaches you. There's things you can learn in Sunday school, and I think you should. And there's things you can learn in church, but watch closely. Some of the most precious truths in your Christian life will be what you learned at the feet of Jesus with your Bible open and your heart yielded. When is your Bible time? When do you read your Bible and you yield to the Holy Spirit and you let Him teach you and feed you? Because there's things I can't teach from the pulpit. There are things in that book that only God can teach you. And He reveals them to you as you are led of the Holy Spirit. And He can't lead you if you're not reading it. He can't lead you if you're not reading it. You see, the Holy Spirit also leads us into love for each other. You see, He leads us to see the light of truth and to feel the warmth of love. The Holy Ghost of God, we're going to offend each other now and then. Didn't Jesus say in Luke 17, it's impossible that offenses should come? It's going to happen. You're going to get upset at somebody. Somebody's going to do something to you, or you're going to do something to somebody. It's impossible that you can't. In other words, I've been offended, and how I deal with it, that's what I'm preaching on tonight. I just remembered. It's the NyQuil. I'm telling you, it's the NyQuil. But anyways, Jesus said it's impossible that offenses should come. So we're going to offend each other. We're going to have times where we upset each other. And it's not because it's just human nature. It's just that way. Well, we should be slow to take offense and quick to forgive. We're commanded to speak the truth, regardless of whether it offends or pleases. But we can do it in love and because of love. I love this verse. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and the fear of the Lord, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. I'm commanded as a pastor and a preacher to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. I'm commanded to preach it straight and to preach it from the book. And I'm not supposed to, but I can do it in love. I feel sorry sometimes. I've talked with some preachers in the past, and they get so frustrated and they quit preaching salvation and everything is damnation. Well, I think there's salvation and victory and all that, but I'm supposed to preach it straight. It is a suggestion of Satan that I should only speak the things that are soft, positive, and pleasing to everybody's ears. That type of pastor that gives nothing but self-help topics and human psychology is a traitor to the truth and to the souls of men. They are also a dime a dozen. You don't have to look for them. They're everywhere. I didn't say all pastors are that way, but I work very hard at not being that. I do want to speak the truth in love. Every preacher speaks and warns of evil and every false way because he loves every child of God. If a surgeon told you, okay, if you had cancer, would you want the doctor to tell you? We'll say that about the doctor. But when we come to church, if he preaches too strong and tells us what's wrong, then we get upset at the pastor. That's backwards. That's backwards. That's inconsistent. If you have cancer and the doctor says, I'm going to have to go in, I'm going to have to cut, and then I'm going to have to cut the cancer out, would you want him to be thorough? I'll never forget when I crushed my thumb in the press. They said, we're going to have to scrub it and get it out or it's going to get infected. And this is what I told the doctor. I said, get all of it, doc. Don't leave nothing in there. Because I don't want to come back here. Right? We should be the same way with the Word of God. God, be thorough with me. God, show me. God, help me. When you go to cut, God, cut it all out. So the Holy Spirit leads us to love, have love for each other. They that are, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. Listen carefully. If I take Romans 8:14 this morning, The password to our fellowship is led of the Holy Ghost. Because I should be able to say this, because you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I want to be led of the Holy Spirit, then we can have fellowship. How can you hang around somebody that does not care what God says? They're not interested in being led of the Holy Spirit, but you are. You have to stop being led of the Holy Spirit, or it convicts them too much. Or you have to go find somebody that's different to spend time with. The password, what is supposed to determine who we spend time with, is, are you led of the Holy Spirit? Are you interested in doing what God wants you to do? Are you interested in going where God wants you to go? Are you at this moment, are you interested? That's a sincere Christian. A backslidden Christian says, I do what I want, live what I want, go where I want, wear what I want, talk what I want. It's me, it's my life. Then the password, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. I want to act like God's child, and I can't do it by myself. And you and me, doing what you want to do, you're going to pull me down spiritually. And you have to learn to say, you know what? The ones I spend time with, I want to be led of the Holy Spirit. And you should be want to be led of the Holy Spirit. And that determines our fellowship. I'm not being a crude. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm saying your goals are different than mine. And whether I spend time with you or not determines what do you want God to do in your life. Is there any desire to live holy? Is there any desire to get close to the one that died for you? Then that determines fellowship. It should. It should. It should. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. What else does the Holy Spirit? Romans 8:14, as many as are led of the Spirit of the Lord, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit also leads us to have a love for souls of sinners. When someone says, I don't care if men are lost or saved, the Spirit of God never led them to be so inhumane. This morning's Sunday school lesson was on soul winning. It's always heavy. It always presents a burden for the Christian. But when a child of God, I've heard saved people say that, I'm not going soul winning, I'm not doing that, I don't care. I understand being shy, I understand I'm a recluse. I grew up in high school, I'd come home, I didn't go to any function, I went to my room, I played my guitar, I lived by myself. So for somebody to say, well, I'm just not a natural people person, I could have used that when I got saved and not talked to nobody. I don't think anybody in here is more of a recluse than I am. My favorite person to spend time with is me. And Jesus. I said that to get you to think. But it's amazing. There are some people in here that are better with people than others. They put me on a tractor when I was 14, and I would go back and forth 12 to 14 hours a day. And it was just me and the sky. When I got saved and I learned I was supposed to tell others about the Lord, I wish you'd have seen me. I've told you this before. I wish you'd have seen me pass out my first gospel tract. Two Marines crossed the thing, scared to death, 5:30 in the morning. If you'd have seen it, you'd have seen me doing this. I was crying. I was scared. I didn't know what they were going to say. I'm hiding behind the milk machine in the cafeteria. They're over there. And I'm looking under the under the milk machine, and I can see them. Oh, Lord, help me. You say, oh, preacher, you're a natural soul winner. You didn't see me hand out my first gospel tract. And I wanted to do what God wanted me to do beyond my fear. Do you understand? Something has to push you beyond your fears. And truth is what's supposed to do it. Finally walked up to him. Here, read those when you get a chance.
Oh, you're a natural soul winner. You didn't see the process God took me. And God wants to grow everybody in here the same way. And yes, some are a little shyer than others, and some are more recluse. Everybody's not a Brother Garland. Amen. He's a people person. He is. He is. I don't know why you'd ever go to Washington, D.C. without him. You know what I mean? He knows everybody. See that over there? Wait. Now, you'll never leave Washington, D.C., but at least he knows everybody in Washington, D.C. Reason I'm telling you that, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it does not matter about your personality. You have the Spirit of God will lead you to love the souls of lost people because they're on their way to hell. Cain said after he murdered his brother, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Holy Spirit never leads you into indifference and complacency. Jesus wept over sinners, and we should learn to do the same. If you can't love your fellow man whom you have seen, could you tell me how can you love God whom you have not seen? The easiest thing to do is love sinners. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit of God leads the sons of God into holiness. The word holy means pure. It means sacred. The word holy means free from contamination of sin and evil. Holiness is easier to see than to find. Can I just let me preach just a second. The Holy Spirit never led you to be mean and unforgiving. The Holy Spirit never led you to be proud and boastful. The Holy Spirit never led you to be covetous and lustful. The Holy Spirit never led you to lie and be unfair. The Holy Spirit never led you to be worldly minded. The Holy Spirit never led you to be friends with the wrong crowd. The Holy Spirit never led you to take a drink of alcohol. God hates liquor. The Holy Spirit never led you to cuss and use bad language. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit will lead you to live as Christ lived. He'll lead you to love as Christ loved. And He'll lead you to be as tender as Christ was. Fearless as Christ was. Brave as Christ was. As honest as Christ was. As many as are loved by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, if you led the Holy Spirit, then He can bear fruit through you. Galatians 5 says this, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," and the list goes on. You say, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins soul. It's not. The fruit of the righteous is other Christians. The fruit of the Holy Ghost of God is love, joy, peace, and watch. When you read Galatians 5, Christian, what God's trying to do is use you and love through you and bring joy through you and peace. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. He's trying to love through you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And if you're led of God, He'll lead you to love. He'll lead you to have joy. He'll lead you to have the peace, not stress. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to speak plainly. There are some who wear the name of Christian, but they have nothing else that is Christian about them except their title. I realize we all have to grow. And I hope when you come to church, you feel encouraged to grow and you feel inspired to grow. And I think part of learning the Word of God is learning I don't know it all. I have more to learn. I have not arrived. I'm not a finished product. I don't know anybody in this room that is. But there has to be some inspiration that says, you know what? If I was led last week 2 times by the Holy Spirit, and I got to experience God's sonship by being led 2, I bet next week I could be led 3 times. And I've got a goal to grow. I want to be led more next week than I was last week. I want to grow in the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of God will never lead you to be lazy for the Lord. The Spirit of God will never, okay, there's something every one of us is supposed to do. God has given everyone here at least one talent. The Spirit of God will lead us and show us what it is and how to use it for the Lord. I was very thankful for the work day yesterday. And you say, well, was everybody here? No, everybody wasn't here. Everybody couldn't be here. But I've learned something as pastor. I can't do it all. So I put out things to do, and I can give you a list. And if you want to help, my goodness, there's plenty to do. You say, what do you do with those who don't want to help? Nothing. Nothing. I wait for God to touch your heart. Lord, is there something I could do for you? Lord, let me serve you. Let me spend my energy for you. Lord, let me serve you. Somehow, some way. And normally you do it through the local church. Somehow, some way. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I asked you a question this morning. How led of the Holy Spirit are you? That's something only you can answer. He leads us through His Word. As you read God's Word, He can speak to your heart. And if you're led by the Word of God, you're seeking to be led of the Holy Spirit. They're very closely intertwined. I'm coming to the end, and I think you can tell because of my voice. Then, listen closely, God leads us through His Word. How else does God lead us? God leads us through the voice of His preachers. Can I show you in your Bible? Go to Titus chapter 1. We're coming. I have just two more things here, and we'll wrap it up. Go to Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching. Titus 1:3 says, God reveals or opens up the Word of God through preaching. Someone said, well, I don't need church. I just need to read the Bible. God, that's not what God says. God says He opens and exposes His book through preaching. No, we all need preaching. I love preaching. I've got preaching going on in my car. I've got preaching in my office. We all, as a Christian, as a child of God, because it is what God uses to open His Word. In other words, I am not God this morning. The office is not open, and there are no vacancies. Okay? I said that as a joke. I'm not the voice of God. But I also realize, look, I know what God did in my life when I got saved in my church through my preacher. And God uses the voice of the preacher to help. You ever been sitting in church? I have. The pastor said, we got a missionary going to preach to us tonight, and I'll never forget the message. He preached on David and Goliath and David's sword, Goliath's sword, shield bearer. There were two people out there. He said, David hit the right target. He never hit the guy holding the shield. He hit Goliath. And the whole sermon was this. Make sure you hit the right target. Hit the target God wants you to. I don't know what anybody else got out of the sermon, but I was sitting in that pew, and God was ringing my bell, and I was like, that message is for me. God's speaking to my heart, and I surrendered my life to get to full-time Christian service at the end of that message. God, don't let me hit the wrong target. I want to hit the giant. Lord, use my life. And I remember the sermon. Have you ever been in church, and God is speaking to your heart, and maybe it's not even about what's being preached about? That's how God leads us. He uses the preaching, as long as it's Bible-based, amen? Not all preaching is good. But if it's Bible-based, then God uses that to guide us and to help us. As many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's one more way, and I hesitate to give this, and then we'll close. There's one more way God leads us. He can speak to your heart. This part is scary to mention because it's been so abused and many have used it to hurt the cause of Christ. I'm not talking about anything that's extra biblical revelations like Pentecostals and other emotion-driven nonsense. I'm talking about, like in Acts 16, just listen, we won't go there. But when the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go to Mysia. When the Holy Spirit, when they were working their way through Asia Minor and they got ready to go, and the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. There was nothing in the Bible that said exactly what place they were supposed to go to. They had to have their hearts turned into God so God could speak to their heart and say, do not preach there. Well, Lord, do you want to do not preach there? Go across the sea. God leads us through His Word. He leads us through the voice of the preacher. And then there are times where God wants to speak to your heart, but you have to be tuned. You have to want to be led of the Holy Spirit. God, show me what to do. Have you ever done this on your way to work? Lord, I take this way to work every morning, but Lord, show me what way you want me to go. Have you ever done this when you opened up your closet? Lord, I'd like to wear that, that, and that, but Lord, show me what to wear. I had one time a person, I've been forbidden the Holy Spirit before, I was working on something and one of the Marines came up to me in the Marine Corps and he said, hey man, I need a ride to the airport. And you got a car and can you take me? I had three things that were very pressing. I was writing a letter to my mother. I was doing something that was very pressing for me. When he said, look man, I'll give you $10 if you run me to the airport, I'm going to miss my plane. I didn't answer. I just said, I was a young Christian. I just prayed and I said, Lord, I got these three things. Lord, do you want me to do this? And I really felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to do this. And I said, I can't. Well, he got all upset. Call yourself a Christian? I need a ride to the airport. You're not even willing to give me a ride to the airport. Man, you know, he was his own travel agency specializing in guilt trips. That was stupid. Okay, I blew it off. And it did eat at me. But I had to come to the point, did I yield to the Holy Spirit? Did I do what God wanted me to do? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they, the ones that are led, are the sons of God. Being led of the Holy Spirit is one of the most important parts of the Christian life. When I ask, I'll close with this illustration. Somebody makes a mistake and, you know, it goes into all a purchase or a relationship. And somebody will ask a question, preacher, man, would you pray for me with this? And this is going south and this is horrible and this happened in our family and this. I said, did you make that decision? Now this is one-on-one. I don't do this in front of everybody. I did it one time about 2 years ago. I said, did you make that decision? Well, yeah, and I just don't know why it went south. I just don't know why. I mean, it's ruining everything. It's ruining this and this. Did you pray before you made that decision? Did you yield to the Holy Spirit? Or did you just do it? Well, it seemed right at the time. I'll help you with anything. But they that are led of the Spirit of God, they're interested. God, please lead me. Because everything I touch turns to manure. And I'm a failure without you. And without you, I can do nothing. Lead me and show me and instruct me. Speak through your word. Speak through the preacher. Speak to my heart. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Let's pray. Father, please use the message this morning. And Father, thank you that you want us to go beyond exterior actions. But Lord, it's our yieldedness to you. And I wish, Father, please bless these people. Help us this morning to be led more by you. I just need to ask the question. You say, preacher, I don't know if I'd go.